wide gaps between the haves and the have-nots, stark ethnic and racial divisions, conflicts about the role of women, hostility to the poor, battles over sexual ethics, fractures along party lines, division so intractable that some people refuse to share meals with each other. The United States of America 2017? No. Well, yes, but Paul is actually writing about Corinth in the middle of the first century. The Christian community in this Greek port city was only a few years old, and it was already a mess. Paul had visited Corinth to proclaim the gospel, and he founded a church probably about the year 50. These new Christians formed a remarkably diverse community: rich and poor, Jews and Greeks, the enslaved and the free, women and men of all kinds of backgrounds, with particular attachments to several early Christian leaders. Some were loyal to Paul, others to Apollos, still others to Cephas or Peter, still others looked snootily down on all the rest and claimed they were loyal to Christ. Within only 6 or 7 years, the church was close to fracturing. Ethnicity and family ties were what bound people together in the ancient world, much as they do today, and the Corinthian Christians didn't have either. Their diversity meant there was no universal characteristic to hold them together, and a number of reasons for them to break apart. So how could they be one community? What would unify them and hold them together? Paul had the answer. If you asked Paul, he'd say he always had the answer. He was just a tiny bit arrogant that way. Paul's answer was simple: Christ. Christ was their unity. For Paul, this comes back to baptism. The Corinthian Christians, like all Christians, had been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. In the waters of baptism, they had died with Christ, and they had been raised with Christ. Baptism made them a new creation. Everything old had passed away, and that included their old ways of identifying and categorizing people. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, "As many of you as were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." All those differences were very real. Paul didn't try to minimize them. And Christ was their unity. Differences may seem to divide, but they cannot break the fundamental unity that all baptized Christians have with Christ and through him with each other. The power of division died a watery death in the font. When it rose dripping into new life, it was reborn as unity. Paul developed this further later on in the first letter to the Corinthians. He wrote that we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. The body is difference in unity. The skin is not the liver. The ear is not the bicep. All the parts in their various forms and functions are necessary to the body, and the body needs all its parts to be whole. The weaker parts of the body are the ones that are indispensable. No part can say it isn't needed or cast out another part because it isn't needed. The parts express their interdependence through their care for one another. When one part suffers, the rest of the body suffers with it. When one part rejoices, the rest of the body rejoices with it. And the head of this body is not Paul or Apollos or Peter. The head of the body is Christ. This is what baptism has done for the Christians of Corinth. In baptism, their old ways of relating to each other have died, and they have been reborn as the body of Christ. That, Paul says, is where they should focus, on Christ. Not to paper over divisions or to gloss over hard conversations, but because this is who they are now. Baptism has made them one body, Christ's body, and that baptismal identity will shape their lives going forward. I suspect that we too need this reminder. St. Bede's is not divided and in conflict like the church in Corinth, thank God. Yet there are plenty of differences within our parish community. Ethnicity and race, gender, class, orientation, gender identity, religious background, values, beliefs, sports loyalties, and of course political views, Differences are present across all these axes. One of the gifts you have given me through soul work this year is an appreciation for just how diverse we are, especially as we talked about the spirituality of money and Christian ethics and voting. It was clear that there are at least as many differences among us as there are commonalities. The potential for division is always there, and the risk is probably greater while our country is so divided. I have asked myself more than once how we are going to get through the next 4 years together. The good news is that baptism has made us one body, Christ's body. Our differences are very real, and our unity is in Christ. We express our interdependence through our care for all the parts of Christ's body. When one of us suffers, we all suffer with them. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice with them. And we love one another across lines of difference in this faith community. We have respectful discussions about our differences, and we come together around a common table. This kind of love is rarely easy or comfortable, but with God's help, we are able to do it. That's not an accident. We have chosen to love one another despite our differences. When we started to talk about the spirituality of money and soul work last summer, we started using a set of group norms that outlined how we were going to interact with each other. It wasn't because we were doing anything wrong, but because we are doing something so very right. Although this was the first time soul work had used group norms, we were already treating one another in those ways. The list of norms just made clear our assumptions about what it means to be in Christian community. Things like, remember that Jesus is always part of the conversation. Show respect for everyone. Listen carefully without judgment. Speak only for yourself so there's room for others to disagree. St. Bede's had been doing all that long before I got here. All I did was get us to write it down. In this time of such division in our national life, I'm feeling protective of our ability to love one another at St. Bede's. That is a valuable and precious quality that needs to be safeguarded in these divisive times. And I'm glad that we have written down how we do it for two reasons. One, it's easier to live up to expectations when they are clearly articulated. We can better explain to new members of St. Bede's what it means to be part of this community, and we can hold each other to account when we slip up, as we all will from time to time. And two, we can take what we do here out into our divided and hurting nation. For instance, the next time we ask ourselves, how in the world is my polarized family going to get through Easter dinner without a big blow-up? We'll have a resource. We'll be able to say, hey, my church has been using these norms, and they have really helped us love one another while disagreeing. Why doesn't our family give it a try? Even if no one else agrees, we can commit personally to listening without judgment, showing respect, and so on. We learn how to love one another here, and we go out into the world to love others beyond our doors. At our annual parish meeting later this morning, we'll reflect on these group norms and consider committing to them as community norms. This is one way we acknowledge that we are different, and our unity is in Christ. In the same way that the prayer book gives us Episcopalians the words when we don't know what to say, established norms guide us on how to be in community in anxious times. I don't expect that it'll always be easy for us to love each other when we disagree. The next 4 years will give us many, many opportunities to disagree on how to be faithful to Christ, how to live out our baptismal promises to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. We may encounter times that we need to disagree so that we don't sacrifice the kingdom of God on the altar of unity. I'm reminded of the blessing Bishop Mark often uses, which is drawn from Paul's letter to the Romans. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render unto no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Comfort the afflicted. Be patient with everyone. But make no peace with oppression. We should not make peace with oppression for the sake of maintaining unity. Jesus himself disrupted unity when justice was at stake. When we disagree, whether about justice or something else, we can do so with love and respect for all the parts of Christ's body. Our differences are real, and we find unity in Christ. Baptism has made us one body, Christ's body, and that identity shapes our life together. We go forth today to be what we are, many diverse parts that together make up the body of Christ.